Hallelujah. Thank you so much. Amen. I said something last night about this being Advent season, and one person that doesn't go to church here, he says, "We don't do that." We do. Advent means looking forward. You know, the Jews were looking forward to Christ's coming, and they missed him. They missed the Messiah coming. Today, we are looking forward to Jesus coming back, right? Don't miss it. The next great event is Christ coming back. Amen. Amen. We are glad to have Arthur back in church with us. He's missed a couple of weeks. Did you have anything you want to say, Arthur? No. And also, I wanted to see if Heather. Heather, would you like to say anything? But this is Dylan's mom.
I get it from my dad and from our heart, sorry. From the bottom of our hearts, thank you for the prayers. We love you guys. The support of the parents is enough to the children. It's the mom's name. So happy to have you home.
Amen. Amen. Very true. Amen. Only thing he needs now is a haircut. And Randall said amen. Amen. The Advent season is upon us, and it's all about when Jesus came to earth, what did he bring? And so each one of these candles represent a characteristic that Christ brought to earth. And the first one we want to talk about today, this is not a sermon, and I want you to relax. I have a short sermon, so you're still going to beat the Baptist to the restaurants. Don't worry about this. But, you know, God arranges the service. He knows what he wants. But God brought hope to this world. When Jesus came to earth, he brought hope. I have found that we are losing hope in this world. We are becoming hopeless. And I'm not talking about worldly people. I'm talking about people of God. We're losing our hope. Folks, we should never lose hope. We should be the most hopeful, optimistic people on this earth. Matter of fact, we are the light of the world that's brightening up, you know, that brings hope to other people. So I just wanted to bring a couple of verses to you. In Ephesians, Paul is writing to this church at Ephesus. He says, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy place." The hope that he has called you. See, if you feel hopeless this morning, I pray right now that you just repent. Just repent of that and say, "God, restore hope to me. Restore hope for my salvation, for my future, for everything that you have in store." And then Romans chapter 15, verse 13, great verse. You need to memorize this. It says, "May the God of hope." Isn't that interesting? Do you realize God just described himself as the God of hope? How could you be hopeless with Jesus in your heart? Because the God of hope is in you. "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." It is one thing to have hope, but would you ever describe yourself as overflowing with hope? Could you say that today? I'm overflowing with hope. And truthfully, could you say that? I dare that any of us could say it. You know, John 10:10 says Satan came to kill, steal, and destroy. You know, so many of us spiritualize this, but we don't materialize it. We don't realize, is Satan stealing from me? You know, the very first thing Satan wants to steal from you is the word. See, if Satan can steal the word from you, he can steal your hope. Is it possible that Satan has begun to steal your hope? See, we just read, God's will for you is to overflow with hope. What if you went into work tomorrow overflowing with hope? You think it might change the environment of where you work? I think it would. I think people might even ask you, what's changed? What is this about you? Why are you so hopeful? Why are you so optimistic? We don't live in an optimistic world. But we could change that. You realize this little group right here could change Paris, Tennessee. 12 men changed the whole world. We could change Paris, Tennessee. What a great change it would be. You know, not everybody uses drugs because they just got hooked as a kid. Some people use drugs just to help them through the day. Some people turn to alcohol just to make it through the day. Here's my thought. Let's turn to Jesus. He'll help us through the day. He'll make us overflow with hope. Amen. So we light our first candle, possibly. Possibly not. Amazed. No. And we're going to take communion today. I know that, you know, when we go to take communion, you expect me to read 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I just felt impressed to do it a little different today. I felt too impressed to take communion every day, every week in Advent, looking forward to that blessed hope. So as we pray today, we're not going to probably pray the normal prayer that we pray about the body and the blood of Christ. But one of the things the body and the blood of Christ has done is come to give you hope. If you feel hopeless in any way today, I want you to surrender it. Does anybody need elements? Amen. We need an element up here. We got two back there. Here we go. We got that one. Could you get those two ladies, Carrie or Eric, either one? Here we go. Amen. Everybody got it? Amen. Now, it's a bit hard. Take the first layer off and you'll get the styrofoam, the bread, which represents the body of Christ. Think about this. That died so that you could have hope. You realize this is not, and I think we're good. This is not just a little thing. This is a big thing. Jesus said, I come in the world to give you hope. So let's take the body together. We're going to take the juice and then we're going to pray. You got the lid off or open? The juice represents the blood of Jesus. In the Old Testament, it tells us there's no life without the blood. There's no hope without blood, right? It's because the blood was poured out for you. We have hope today. Let's take together. Let us pray. Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for communion. It means so many things to us. God, I pray, Lord, that every person in this place will take this with a sincere heart, with a faithful heart, and with faith looking forward to that blessed hope. God, I know that during the holiday seasons, depression runs rampant. God, it's difficult. But Lord, this season, we want you to permeate our thoughts. I want our minds to be upon Christ and Him alone. So Father, I thank you, Lord, this week for bringing hope to our lives. I thank you, Father, that you died that I might receive hope. God, it's a strong desire of yours that we would overflow with hope. I pray today, and I bind the spirit of depression in the name of Jesus. I release hope, that confident expectation that something good is about to happen in my life. Father, I thank you, Lord Jesus, that as I look upon you, as my eyes are fixed on Christ, I get hopeful. When I look at the world, I can become depressed. But when I look at you, I become full of hope, a confident expectation that no matter what happens in the stock market, I trust in you, Lord. I know that you'll make a way for me. I give you thanks, God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay. I have just a couple of announcements that I need to make. Tony is not here, is he? Do I see Tony? Tony is retiring from the police force really in February, but I think some of his last days, but next time he's in service, I want just 34 years, isn't it, Ricky? 34 years of serving you as a police officer, which I think ought to be celebrated. So, amen. Getting ready to go to work. I got to take my jacket off. December the 19th, that Sunday night, we don't normally have services on Sunday night, but we will that week. So mark that on your calendar. We'll have a little Christmas program. December the 11th, that's next two Saturdays from now. We're calling this a work morning, not a work day, but a work morning. So we want to encourage you. There's lots of little things that we need to do around the church, some not so little. And so we really could use your help. This is men and women both. And I also want you to consider being a part of a prayer group. We have Tuesday morning prayer at Jordan's, Sweet Jordan's. We have Tuesday morning prayer for the ladies at about 10 o'clock. We have Saturday night prayer at 6:30. And these are the smallest services that we have. Very unattended, and they ought to be the most attended. And so I just want to encourage you to reconsider, especially in this New Year's, getting involved in a time of prayer, a service of prayer. God will touch your heart. Amen. I forgot my glasses. Okay, turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, we're going to read the first 14 verses. And today we titled this sermon, Sin's Power is Broken. Could I ask you something? Do you feel like sin's power is broken? And don't feel like it, do you? But the Word tells us it is. Okay, chapter 6 of the book of Romans, he says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Now listen to this. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. Jesus, we just come before you today. God, I thank you for your word, because I sure couldn't come up with this. This is a little bit beyond my mentality. So I just trust you and your word. But I'm going to ask you today, Lord, to transform my thoughts. I'm going to ask you, Lord, to help me not think like a man, especially like a carnal or a worldly man. I'm going to ask you, Lord, not just for me, but for every person in this place, that you would redeem us from the thoughts of this life, and that you would transform us by the word of God so that we would believe the word. So if your word says that sin has no dominion over me, I'm going to trust that that's true. And I believe, Lord, I'm asking you today, I just present my thoughts, I present my brain to the very throne of grace today. And I'm asking you, Jesus, change me and change every person in this room so that we would think the thoughts of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last week we studied, you know, Paul is writing a continuous letter. So last week we studied that that there was an abundance of grace, and that grace changes our nature. And most of us think that we're sinners because we sin. But it's not true according to the Word of God. The truth is, you sin because you inherited that. You got a gift that just keeps on giving, right? And it's probably one that you'd like to return to sender. And that's from Adam. You got this inheritance that made you a sinner. And I didn't talk about this last week, but I've talked about it many other times. When you had children, not one of you had to teach your children to lie. You didn't have to teach your children to be selfish. You didn't have to teach your children to hit or bite. But they did it. You had to teach your children not to lie, to tell the truth, even if it might mean that he'd get in trouble. You had to teach your children to share, to be kind to others, to not say ugly things, right? Why? Because that Adamic nature is in that baby. And it's in you. Until you get born again. And Jesus Christ changes your nature and makes you a born-again creation. Old things are passed away, all things are new. Folks, I wish that we understood the born-again experience. I wish that our eyes could be open to exactly what has happened in us when we said, Jesus, I'm a sinner, and I'm definitely in need of salvation. Would you come into my heart? I'm telling you, I think that inside of us almost explodes. It's like, boom, this is big. This is new. Old things are passed away. Now you go on, you still feel guilty for years about things you've done in your past, but he doesn't hold it against you. And he don't even see you that way anymore. You still may say, well, I'm just messed up. No, you're not. You're not messed up. You may act messed up, but they ain't really you. So he starts this week, and he says, if this grace thing is so wonderful, if it really shows how great Jesus is, then maybe we ought to just keep on sinning. Because if sin makes Jesus look good, let's make him look good. What an ignorant argument. I have found in reading this chapter is the Holy Spirit is logical. He is so logical. He is making a logical argument through the Apostle Paul. He is writing something so you will evaluate this logically. You know, there's a lot of Pentecosts that they just check their brain at the door. Well, it's all about getting happy, right? No, it's not. See, Jesus, if we will let the Lord transform this, our actions will change. It's not the other way. Don't change your actions. Change your brain. Change the way you think. Your actions will follow suit. So he says, should we continue in sin that grace would abound? Are you crazy? Isn't it funny that this is almost 2,000 years old and still it's being preached? We call it a little different today. We call it cheap grace. See, preachers all over the world are telling people, if you'll just surrender to Jesus, you get to do whatever you want to do. You're free now. Folks, that doesn't make any sense. Why would he save us to allow us to go back to the pig pen? He saves you so that you'll live differently. Does it happen immediately? It takes some time. I've been serving the Lord about 52 years. It takes some time. Some of us are a little harder headed, right? I'm talking about Dave Allen right now, but have you ever known anybody that lived a terrible life, a life of just debauchery, claiming to be a Christian? It does not bring glory to God. Does it? It brings confusion to the world and to the body of Christ. People will say stuff like this. Well, he was in the bar with me last night. Now he's singing on the worship team. They don't say that about this church. You wasn't in the bar last night, was you? He goes right into something that almost, if you're not careful, if you're not reading this word really good, you're going to think he switched subjects, but he didn't. He's making a logical argument. He's saying, you were baptized with Christ. And in my brain, I thought, "What? Well, he just shifted gears really fast. He did not. Are you getting this? He's making a logical argument. What is baptism? Baptism is a sign to the world that you die to yourself and you are resurrected with Christ. But your life ought to show that. He said, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. For you were baptized. He's not saying baptized saved you. He's saying baptism showed the world that you said, I'm dead to me. And now my life lives for Christ. That's baptism, folks. The word baptism means baptismal in the Greek. It means, it literally was a word that come out of the clothing industry. It meant to dip and to dye. We're going to baptize this garment and bring it up a new color. Are you getting that? We put you in water, we baptize you in water so that when you come out, you're a new color. You're a new creation in Christ. And let the whole world, you know, we're so focused on sin. We get so focused on sin, we don't focus on the resurrection. The resurrection is where the power is. It's not about going down in the water, it's about coming out. Hallelujah, come out with power. Do you realize that Christ is not Jesus' last name? Christ means the anointed one. We could put Christ on you. Well, it's Larry Christ. Now, I know you think, Pastor, you're going too far. I'm not. I'm really not. I'm saying the anointed man, Larry. Folks, if you would look yourself in the mirror sometime and quit calling yourself a sinner, Quit thinking about all the sin that you got in your life. Start thinking about the resurrection power of God, that He raised you up for a new work to do something powerful for Him. I am Christ. Oh, that sounds bad. I know you're thinking, oh, pastor's flipped his lid. No, I am the anointed one of Jesus. Because of His power. The same power that raised Jesus from the grave now resides in you. We live so far below our means. Hallelujah. I hope you get it. We need to walk in the newness of life. I pray that we quit talking about all the sin. And what am I getting ready to talk about next? All the sin. The old man has been crucified with Christ. The body of sin is to be done away with. He makes one statement in here. He says this, basically, Kelleher rendition. Dead men don't sin. Dead men don't deal with sin. The lust of the world doesn't bother a corpse. My question to you is, how dead are you? How dead are you today? The old man, we're no longer slaves of sin. I think in Romans 13:14, he says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. I think personally that we make excuses to live a life of sin. And if I have one thing that I can do today, I want to take your excuse. I don't want you to be able to say, well, I was born this way. You know, I just grew up this way. Well, you were born again a different way. It's time that we started living like born again saints instead of sinners. So I did not want to go into this lesson and talk about, like I always was taught, this is sin and that is sin. I don't care about that junk. I don't want to identify sin for you. So I'll let the Word of God do it. Is that good enough? So in Galatians 5:16, he says, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your life. Stop right there. It's that simple. Do you know the Spirit of God will never lead you to sin? He'll never lead you to lie. He'll never lead you to steal. It's not Him leading you when you have those desires. Right? This is it, folks. Let the Spirit of God lead you. You cannot let the Spirit of God lead you. You cannot be focused on Spirit lead me today and focused on sinning. Not even not sinning. See, I find as Pentecostal people, we get so focused on not sinning that we quit focusing on listening to the Holy Ghost. See, all you got to do in the morning is get up and say, I dedicate this day to you, Jesus. I'm not saying I promise you'll never make a mistake or never sin. I'm just saying He'll change your world. Lord, I dedicate this day to you. Use me as you see fit. And then quit thinking about sin. Let's start thinking about what God has in store for you that day. He says, let the Holy Spirit guide you. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. I think I'm reading this out of the NLT. The sinful nature wants you to do evil, just as it's opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit desires that are opposite of the sinful nature. The two forces are constantly fighting each other so that you are not free to carry out your good intentions. Can you just say, boy, I know about those two battles, right? You know about the battle, the two forces that are constantly fighting in your brain. He says, but when you are directed by the Spirit, you're not under the obligation of the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful desires. Those three words is one Greek word, porneia. It's where we get the word pornography. I just pause here for just a second because there's some people that don't believe that pornography is a sin. Satan has got the wool pulled over your eyes. That word is where they got the word prostitution. I want you to know, hear me and hear me closely, when you view pornography, it's the same sin as prostitution. It's like you just hired someone to have sex with you, even though it's on TV. Are your thoughts changing on this at all? Do you see how? You see, there's people in this room that said, I would never go to a prostitute. But you'll pull one up on your computer. It's the same sin. Let's quit making an indulgence of our flesh. Are you following me? I'm not here to harp on something. I'm just here to make it known to you. This is evil. Say, is it a big deal? Oh, it's just about 80% of the world are viewing pornography regularly. And somewhere just below 70% of Christians view pornography weekly. You think maybe the devil has pulled the wool over our eyes? He goes on, idolatry. That's anything that you place before God. And then sorcery. Sorcery is witchcraft. The old King James would use the word witchcraft. The Greek word is pharmakia. Drug use. Lots of Christians would tell you, well, this is not a sin. Yes, it is, baby. Yeah, it is. It's a sin. You know why? Because it doesn't bring God's goodness into your life. Listen to me. He is not trying to keep you from good things. He's trying to keep you from dangerous things. See, it's the same lie that Satan told Eve in the garden. He said, God's withholding from you. There's a lot of the church world that thinks that God is withholding his goodness. There's so many good things out there that you can't do if you go to church. Yeah, and every one of those good things will lead you straight to the pit of hell. And before you get to the pit of hell, it's going to lead you to bankruptcy. It's going to lead you to stealing from your family. It's going to lead you to losing your teeth. It's going to lead you to bad health. It's going to lead you. And there's nothing good. Open your eyes. Come on. Did we quit teaching our teenagers about this? There's nothing good in drugs. There's nothing good. From marijuana on up, I said I wasn't going to do that. I wasn't, doggone it, I wasn't going to do it. Hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division. This is the word of God. Envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I've told you before, that sort of living will not inherit the kingdom of God. He did not save you so you could live like that. That's all you need to understand. There's a better way. God's got a higher calling of goodness for you. And the more dead you are to yourself, the more you'll realize that. Because dead men are not enticed to sin. We need to know the truth. And then we need to think about the truth. And I've been praying for 2 or 3 days. God, let them think about this sermon. Think about it. Consider this truth. And then present your bodies to God. I think it's very interesting. The very end of this chapter, he said, you have a choice. You can present your bodies as instruments to unrighteousness, or you can present your bodies as instruments of righteousness. Got some scripture I'll read in just a second. Every person God has placed a talent in you, a gifting, a special ability. You may not see yourself as being special, but you are. Now sometimes we say, oh, he's really special. That means something different. But you are special. God made you special. God made you unique. I find sometimes we just try to be like other people so much. Would you stop that? Would you just be who God has created you to be? But here's the key. Who are you going to give your talent to? I want to tell just a little bit about your story, Chad, if that's okay. Not much, but you see he's talented. You see he's got a great voice. He plays the guitar. There was a time in his life, I think right after military, where he went to Nashville and he was playing in bars. He was presenting his talent as unrighteousness. Why? Because he knew he had that talent. He knew that there's something that's in me that could be a blessing or be people would enjoy. But when he got saved, God changes the way he uses his talent. Now he's not in the bars playing, but he takes his talent and he takes it to people that can't pay him, that can't reward him in any way. He sings a lot of times at camps for disadvantaged kids that have messed up their life. Peggy tells me all the time, he sang here and 20 kids got saved. Is this getting clear? At one time he presented his instrument, his talent, for unrighteousness, but today he presents his talent for righteousness. And God wants you to do the same. This church is unique, and it's not because of me or Treva. It's because of you. I keep listening for that person that comes to this church that says, "You're the best preacher I ever heard in my life." Buddy, I'll tell you, I'm all ears. 12 years, and ain't a soul told me that yet. But I hear something reoccurring over and over and over. This church loves so much. This church has an attitude and an atmosphere of embracing and loving people. That ain't me. But it's we. Pastor doesn't do that. You do that. It's a bunch of people that have yielded their instruments as righteousness to love people. And that's what people are looking for. People are looking for a place where they not only feel the love of God, but they feel the acceptance of other people. I said something the other day. I believe so much in church. I really do. I believe that if you took God out of the equation totally, church would still be a good thing. Say, "Pastor, you're really pressing the envelope today." Because it's community coming together to help each other, to encourage each other. That's good. When God created the heavens and the earth, every time he creates something, he'd say, "Boy, that's really good. I outdid myself there. That's good." And then he created Adam. And he said, "Wow, that's not good." Not that man wasn't good, but it wasn't good that he was alone. You see, God created man for community. We just don't understand how badly we need each other. You realize the two greatest commandments is to love God and love each other? That's church. That's church. Church is about coming in and worshiping God and loving him and then loving each other. Let's not let Satan steal from us any longer. Let's quit making excuses. "Well, I got a bad temper. My mama had a bad temper." Buddy, I'm telling you, my mama had a bad temper. And that apple rolled right down to me. But you know what? Jesus will redeem that. You know, see, you can go to your grave with that bad temper. Or you can allow God to wash that away. Now, it's going to stick up its ugly head every once in a while. And that's where you take authority over it. Have you got some habits that you're just putting up with? Because you say, well, that's just who I am. Are you getting this? You realize you're a dead man, right? You see, the things you used to be, they died. So quit saying that. Well, I cussed because I was in service and I just picked up bad language in service. Hey, you're a dead man. Quit making provision for your flesh. Wouldn't it be fun if a whole church got together and say, what can you do with this? I'm not for sure if you can do much with this, but I give it to you. Do what you want to do with this. You know, I am so convinced that we don't see our talents. You know the number one person that I'm talked about? There's two people that I'm just... everybody that talks to me, they talk to me about two people in this church. Larry and Dave. They probably don't see this, but they have a gift of God inside of them called hospitality. Do you realize you have a gift? Would you give it to God? You see, I believe this sermon comes down to just two points. Has your nature been changed? Has your nature been changed? Have you given your heart to Jesus and said, change me? Right? Has your nature been changed? Then the second question is for you. Are you yielding your instrument for unrighteousness or for righteousness? Every person in this room needs to ask themselves that question. Will my life, let's say it this way, will my life count for Christ or Satan? Even as a Christian. I'm pretty convinced that some Christians do more work for him than they do for Jesus. There are people that claim to be a Christian that others will look at and say, if that's a Christian, I don't want any part of it. Shame on us. But it all comes down to this choice. You can make a choice today. Lord, I don't care what I've done the last 50 years. What matters is today and what you'll do with my future. I hope every one of you are saying this and following me. I choose today to make this count for righteousness. I will not make an excuse for this flesh any longer. I didn't expect you to repeat me, but I'm glad you are. Would you stand with me? Just want you to know I don't get a lot of support at home. I told Treva, I said, I don't want you to rush through the service or anything. I've got a short sermon. You know, she laughed out loud. She just laughed. I said, no, really, I don't have a long sermon. Yeah, right. Take it back right now. There's a scripture in 1 John chapter 3 that talks about how we keep on sinning. And John is saying, don't live this life of sinning. And I wanted to read something that Jack Hayford, thank you. He said this in the commentators. He says, John is not teaching perfectionism. This is so good, 1 John, yes. John is not teaching perfectionism. So I don't want you to leave this place thinking Eric expects us to be perfect. No, I know us. That's not what I'm saying. He's not saying that Christians are unable to commit an occasional act of sin, but we are not to be characterized by the spirit of lawlessness, powerlessly led into a habitual practice of sin. You see, sin should be unnatural to the believer. It's an unnatural act for us because Jesus changed our nature. Would you bow your head with me? If you do not know Jesus as your Savior, would you just raise your hand and let me lead you in a prayer today? If Jesus has never changed your nature, a born-again experience, if you're in the house, I just want to pray with you. I promise you I will not embarrass you in any way. But can I pray with you this morning? Are you here? Has everybody given their heart to Christ? So then my second question is this. Are you using your gifts, your talent, your person as a member of righteousness? Jesus, we just come before you today. God, if they've been listening, there's probably a little bit of conviction going on right now. And I can tell you that I've been convicted all week as I've read this. If I studied it and just prepared it to my heart. God, I pray right now you forgive us. Forgive us for everything that we have done unrighteously. But change our thoughts. Change us, and may we feel like dead men, not enticed by sin any longer. May we make a choice today in the presence of God that we will yield our instruments, that we will yield our body, our talents, our gifts, everything about us, we yield it now to you because you are righteous. We are only righteous through you, but you are the righteous King of kings and Lord of lords. Jesus, I pray today that every person under the sound of my voice is making this declaration loudly in their heart, saying, take me, take me, take me. Use me any way you see fit. All I ask is that I would count for the kingdom of heaven. Spirit of God, come alive right now in each one of our hearts and minds. And don't let the devil steal this seed. Protect this seed that it would bear fruit in our life. In the precious name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Denny, would you come up?
For all the old home folk that remember Connie Stalls, make sure you say hi to her today, and you'll be seeing her a lot more often. Say hi to Connie.
I don't know about you guys, but I know we hear messages like this, and sometimes I think, what could God ever do with me? And I can tell you right now, I can't even take communion without getting it all over my shirt. So if he can use me, he can use anybody else, right? Don't think that you're not good enough to be used. So raise your hand, receive the Lord's blessing. May the Lord bless you, and may he keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Go in peace and serve the Lord. God bless you.